Okay, today's daf is Menachas Daf Tzadik Tes. Again, this week's Shiurim are sponsored Le'ili Nishmas in loving memory of Walter Weiss by his son Daniel Weiss. We thank you for the sponsorship. And we continue now with Menachas Daf Tzadik Tes, which we could really spend many hours on, especially on Amud Beis, where we have some famous discussions. But we'll do what we can in the time that we have allotted, and we should always know, as we always do, Yosimi Mashe Karim Kasuf Khan. There's a lot more here than that we mentioned, but we just do our best in each day. Okay, so we are on Tzadik Ches and Abeis. We just quoted the Machlokas, a couple of Machlokas. We quoted the idea that Shlomo HaMelech built many different shulchans and many different menorahs. We'll get to, I mentioned, a Mikdash David. We'll mention in a couple of minutes. And there was a machlokas exactly how they were placed. The Gemara on the last two skinny lines had quoted a machlokas between Rebbe. Rebbe said that they were set up east-west, and Reb Shimon said it was set up north-south. And the question is, do you learn it from the Arun? Do you learn it from the menorah? That was a machlokas about how the shulchans were set up. Good. So, relating to that machlokas, we're asking a couple of questions back and forth. So we just asked one question, what does it mean, lifnei Hashem? So we said, that's not a problem. Either it means literally lifnei Hashem if they were east-west, and if not, so it just means that the candles, all the candles faced the one in the middle, what was called the Ner Ma'aravi, the three on top and the three on the bottom faced the middle one, and the one in the middle faced west. So that's why that was called lifnei Hashem, as in the picture that you see. Right? They're all facing the middle one, and the one in the middle, is facing out towards us. If you remember, all the pictures in Rashi, as in most medieval pictures, east is on top, even though our acceptance is usually have north on top on any map. But if you look at all the pictures, like here in this picture, Rashi is explaining the shita that says east-west, and east is on top, and north-south on the sides. You look at the two pictures on the next Amud, also, Mizrach is on top. So if you see, that's how they drew maps in those days. Okay, so Bishlama. So let's go to four lines for the bottom. Bishlama. At this point in time, well, we didn't explicate this yesterday, but the Gemara understands the Shita that says east-west, as we said, that all the Shulchans were on the east to west side of the wall, on the north side of the wall, going east to west when you come into the Azara. But according to the opinion that says they're north-south, then they were all north to south across the north to south line of the Azara, as we're going to talk about. So how did anybody ever get through the Azara? That's what Gemara is about to ask. But that's the assumption of the Gemara now, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask. So four lines from the bottom. Bishlama, Lamanda Amar Mizrachu Mayrev, according to the one who says that all the Shulchans were set up east to west, Hainu, Dahavi Yasvi, Asara Be'esrim, that's how you could figure out that there were 10 Shulchans. Right, there were 10 shulchans that Shlomo HaMelech made, and they were sitting in 20 amos. Because if you remember, we said that all the shulchans, that's what we mentioned in the last couple of skinny lines yesterday, all the shulchans were in the inner part of the heichal. So they're in the inner part of the heichal, the inner half of the heichal, so they have to fit. The heichal's 40 amos, so it's got to be within 20 amos. So if it's within 20, so then within 10, then half of them has to be within 10, and that's how they fit in, because if you put them one right next to another, and even though, Rashi explains, even though you need a tiny drop of space in between, they're not like, even if they're touching each other, it's going to be a drop more than 20, you know what? So it sticks out a drop more than half. That's okay. The Gemara will still call that on the inside. There's no wall that's blocking them that it can't be more than a drop more than 20. That's what Rashi says in the 10th wide line. Hainu diyasvi yud eser shulchanos be'asrim kedam al me chati b'ayis b'lefnim munach. And it says Rosh Hashanah beside the Karshal Zeh, and they're each right next to each other. And even though they're very close together, and it's still a drop more, it's okay. But if you say, the Gemara says, El Alamad Amar Tzafun V'Darom, right? If they're north south, Yud Bechav Hechi Aviyasvi, then it's exactly 20 from north to south. If it's exactly 20, and you have 10 shulchans to fit from the north side to the south side, in an exact 20, and each of them are going to take up the space and fill up 20, it's going to be more than 20. It's really going to be a drop more than 20, so how do you fit them in? How do you fit them in? You're going to need exactly more than 20 because there's going to be a drop of space in between. So how did you fit them in? Rashi says, "Ha'i'efshar letzamseim shelo yehi revach mu'at ben shulchan l'shulchan." It's got to be a little more. So it's going to be a little more than 20 amos. So how do you fit it in? Because there's a wall from north to south. Question one. Visu, and the other question, Kohanim hechi avi aili. Also, how the Kohanim ever get through? Which Kohanim? When do you have to ever have to get through? So, let's say, at least on Yom Kippur, or let's say you have to do some of the avodos of the chatos primios, sprinkling the blood towards the parochas. You got to get through sometime. So if the shulchans are lined up all the way across from north to south, and remember the door is on the east side, so you come in, how do they get through? What, they jump over the shulchans? Right, it's too high. So, how do they get through? Visu, and the other question, which you might have been thinking of, Matsinu hei shulchanos bedarom. We said yesterday, all shulchans have to be in the north. And if you say they were set up north-south, and it doesn't just mean north-south, the positions of the menorah, but they were all along the northern border. The Gemara does not understand this sheet that way. North-south means they're all north-south in a line. So if that's true, so how'd they fit in? How'd the Kohanim get past? How could you have half of them in the south? Visu, and finally, the last question, Shulchan de Moshe avi manachle. The 10 were the 10 extra ones by Shlomo. What about the Moshes? So you need a room for 11 anyway. And we said Moshe was in the middle. So where in the middle? There's no room. There's only room for 20 amos. So all those questions are on Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon. The Gemara then has one more question, which is even according to Rebbe. Ula taimeich, l'madar b'mizrach u'mayrib nami shulchan d'boshe echavi manachle. What do you mean? This last question is even on Rebbe. Because what did we just say? Oh, it's just above 20 amos. So it's okay. But it's not just above because you need the room for Moshe's also. So where was Moshe's shulchan? So Ella, so the Gemara answers for both of them. Mi sabris chad dara have trei darininu. There were two rows. Either way, according to Rebbe, it was two rows east-west. So you had one row of five, and then Moshe's in the middle under it, and then another row of five. Right, that was the 5-1-5. If, according to Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon, it was different. On the north side, you have 5-1-5. Right, so either way, there were two rows with Moshe's in the middle, as we're about to explain now. So Bishlam of the Gemara continues. Ah, yes, that's what Gemara is about to explain. So Bishlama, so let's do the math now. Bishlama l'man d'amar tzafon v'darom shapir. According to, if you say now, tzafon v'darom, they're lined up north to south, so then it's fine if you have those rows going north to south, because then there's enough room. Right, if you have, again, all the menorahs you have, let's say you walk into the Heichal, so you hit five in front of you in a row, and then one behind that, and then five in front of you, so everything works out. We'll see what the problem is according to the other Shita. Ella, because all of them are on the north side, and there's enough space, and it's wonderful. Ella manda amar mizrachu mayriv, but let's do the math when it comes to the manda amar east-west, which means you have five up against the north wall. They're east-west, but they're up against the north wall. They have five there. And then you're going to have another one, Moshe's. And then you're going to have another five under that. So the space is not going to work out. Why? Because you need some space in between each shulchan in order to be able, as we're going to see later today, to put the lechems in and out. So, let's do the math. Michti, shulchan, kama, mashach, menakosel. How much space do you have to leave from the northern wall till the first row of five? So how much space do you have to leave? Shtei amos u'mechza. You have to leave 2.5 amos space. Because you have to leave enough space for some kohanim to stand there to put in the lechems. So you have 2.5 amos. And then amah didei, and then the amah of the shulchans itself. So that's now we're up to 3.5. And then v'shtei amos u'mechza, and then you need another space to beni in between. So then that brings you up to 6. V'amah, and then you have an amah of Moshe's, which is 7. V'shtei amos u'mechza de'beni beni, and then you need another 2.5 amos of in between, right? V'ama didei, and then the ama itself of the last row. So ishtakech. So if you do all the math, what happens? De ka'achil shulchan palka da'amsa bedarum. It adds up to 10.5 amos. 10.5 amos. It is still a half an ama of the southern row of the shulchans. A half an ama that's in the south side of the hechal. And that question is still not answered, Right? So if you say north-south, that's fine. They're all on the northern side of the Heichal. But if you say east-west, if you do the math and the space, it's still going to stick into the south side by a half an amma. So the Gemara answers, no problem. We're not understanding it exactly how it was structured. Mi Savris, Shulchan, the Moshe, but the Hayav Yosef, who says that Moshe's was in the middle? Right? How are we understanding? You have, starting from the northern wall, you have five, and then one, and then five. That's not true. Says the Gemara, lo, the midzli lay umanach lay. It was a little lifted up. Lifted up where? Lifted up towards the west. So you had the two rows, and then next to the west side of the two rows was Moshe's. That's what it was. It wasn't in between. It was next to, so therefore the two rows could be more closer to the north side. And then Moshe's Shulchan was to the west of the two rows. It was raised, Umanachlein was sitting there, Umisisi Lahulu de tu Purta, and it was raised up a little bit, Kitalmud Ayoshev Lefei Rabo. Like a Talmud, a student who sits in front of his Rebbe, that's how all of these 10 Shulchans were like little Talmidim that were in front of Moshe's Shulchan. Period. Stop there for a minute. There is a Rashi that the Achronim argue about. Rashi seems to say, Rashi in Kitalmud Ayoshev Lefei Rabo, that the where Moshe's menorah was the ground was a little raised. It was on a slope. So that's what the Gemara means. It was a little raised because the ground went up. And it went up, so he was like the Rebbe. He was a little bit raised, and then the rest were lowered down. The Achronim ask on Rashi that we have no source for that. Where does Rashi say that it wasn't flat? No, it's the whole base of Mikdash. Yes, it was on Harabayas, but the Gemara describes that they filled in Harabayas in order to make it flat. So both the Sfasemis and the Rishash right here say, I don't know where Rashi gets it from. It's almost the same words they use. Same words. I'll read it from the Sfasemis, but it's in the Rishash also. V'lo matzasi b'shum makom sheyi haritzbal shal base Mikdash meshupe. What does it mean raised here? It means raised in Kedusha because it's west of the menorahs, west of the other shulchans. So it's closer to the Kodesh Kodashim, so that it's raised in Kedusha. You don't have to say it's literally raised. Right, so that midli. So that's what he says. Lule dvar v'yesh lefarish l'tzad mayrav karav l'katshi ha-kadashim kari mala l'tzad mizrach kari l'mata afilu hayar v'spashavet. So that's but that's Kiddush of Rashi to say that it was at all raised. Period. Okay, so now we know two different opinions, how the menorahs were set up and how what it looked like. According to the rows. You look at all the picture books, they gotta choose one to paskin like, who we paskin like, and they will know. Okay, but as we said yesterday from the Trumas Hadeshen, that it might have some ramifications in terms of where we put our Chanukiyot in the shul. Where do we put them exactly in the shul? We put them on the south side, the menorahs, but the question is it east, west, or north, south? That's the machlokas, says the Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, Tan Rabbanon, says the Gemara in Ebraisa. Asar Shulchan Asar Shlomo. This is what we referred to yesterday. We quoted a Reb Chaim about this, but this is a machlokas, as we're about to say here. Did they use all of Shlomo's Shulchans? Or did they just have them? So, Asar Shulchan Asar Shlomo. Shlomo made 10 extra ones. V'lo hayu misadrin el al shel Moshe. But they only set up on Moshe's. They only put the lechem aponims on Moshe's. Like we said from Reb Chaim yesterday, they all might have Kedushas Binyan, but they didn't have Kedusha Shulchan in order to use. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Vesa Shulchan Asher Alav. Singular. Lachem Aponim Zahav. You just say the Lashon. Esa Menoros, Asa Shlomo, Balei Madigan Alav Shal Moshe. Same thing Shlomo says. There were 10 menorahs that Shlomo built, but only Moshe's was lit. Sorry?
Changes the math that we just did then. Because we specifically left space for the Kohanim to be able to put in the lechem.
We left space, right? So according to this, interesting, right? So if you say that they didn't use them, they didn't have to leave the space for them, right on top in a chenam. So you wouldn't have to come up to that answer. So I guess the answer above is just going according to both opinions. The other opinion, good. So ten menorahs Moshe Shlomo Melech made, and they only lit Moshe. Shenemar menorahs hazahav v'neiro seha, plural. V'neiro seha. It's singular. Leva'er ba erev. So again, according to the Tanakhama, they only used one. The one menorah. They used Moshe's menorah and Moshe's Shulchan. I saw in the Margolius Hashas, he talks about the Lechem symbolizes the Parnasa, the menorah symbolizes the Torah. So ultimately what it comes down to it, Toras Moshe. Toras Moshe is what we light. And the Lechem, we get Parnasa based on this, on the Schar that we get for Torah. So he says That's Imein Kemach in Torah Sheikar Hashpas Aparnasa Ba'aydei Limit Torah Kedosha, and that says the Oev Yisrael, the after of, says Rakai Deshulchan Shal Moshe Amud HaTorah Ki Imein Torah in Kemach, and that's what that's the one that we use. We got to have the Torah in order to give us Parnasa. We have to have the Torah in order to have a true understanding. And he quotes a story here from the after of that Sha'ar B'Shem Tzadik Echad. He quoted a tzadik that a lot of times he sat there and listened to people's problems and sorrows, like many of the Rebbes do, and he gives them advice and he gives them brachas. And one time, right in the middle of this, of giving this advice and giving the brachas, he runs out and he goes to sit and learn for half an hour. And then he comes back. And then he asks him afterwards, Rebbe, what happened? People were waiting for you. He says, don't think I slighted them on their covet, but I feel the koach of bracha that I give only comes from my Torah. And I was feeling a little weak in the Torah realm, so I couldn't properly give the brachas. So I had to go learn for half an hour to get a little chizik in the realm of Torah, and in that way I could give the brachas properly. That's what the story, but he said that's what starts off with Torah's Moshe. Moshe is the source of it, and Torah is the source for Panasa as well. The schus of our Torah, and therefore we light Moshe's. We use Moshe's according to this first opinion. Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua Omer al kula ma'im asadra. No, they used to put them on all of them. What do you mean all of them? Rashi says sometimes one, sometimes the other. Not all of them, but pam and bazu. They use them all. Shene emar es hashulchanos, plural. Va'alehem lechem hapanim. Ubekula noyim alikin, and also by the menorah. They used to light all of them. Shenemar es haminoros venero sehem levaram kamishpat lefnei hadvir zahav sagur. So they used to use all of them. They used to use all the menorahs and all the shulchan. So it's a machlokas. So I'll mention here the Mikdash David that I referred to yesterday, which I did not get to mention. And ask the Mikdash David, v'yesh lahavin, why isn't, like the question we mentioned for Reb Chaim yesterday, why isn't this in Isra Bal Tosef? Why isn't this Batosif? It says in the Torah to make a Shulchan, to make a menorah, and Shlomo built 10 more. Eich asu eser menorahs v'shulchanos, v'Torah amar rak achas. Ulefize, ki ha-shulchan v'menorah levad, shehen la'avodasan, hei chelak me'amigdash. Im kein, kamo abinyan atzmo, haya habayis mishuna min ha-mishkan, shehaya ba'ulam v'tayim, ki ha-kol b'ksav, ha-chanami v'menorah, shoyitzorach li'oz eser menorahs v'chein shulchanos. It must be that anything that relates to the binyan, ratios might have been different. That's not a violation of Altosif, to just enlarge. Just like the structure was enlarged from the Mishkan, so too the kelim were enlarged that were part of the binyan. Avol mashe shayich la'avoda, lo hayim misadrin rak alechad. Like that opinion. V'lo hayim madlikin rak echad. That's the opinion that he's answering. V'chein kiyoros, asa Shlomo, asar. Shlomo also made 10 kiyors. 10 kiyors. The Ava kiyor, Shemakomo kavua, even though the Makomo was kavua there, he made 10. So he says, it's all because, like we said yesterday, in terms of the binyan, it could be expanded. In terms of the avoda, that is where the Isra Bal Tosef would apply. The question is, what about the other opinion that we said? He only deals with that opinion, that they only lit one and they only use one. But you also have to deal with the other opinion, maybe that was also included in the nevuah. Okay, so what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? We have one pasuk that talks singular and one pasuk that talks plural. What does each one do with the other one? So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo hayim misadrin al shel Moshe, Elamani mekayim ve'es ha-shulchanos asher aleihem lechem habanim saviv. What do you use the pasuk for that's plural? Eila shlosha shulchanos shayim mikdash. That plural is referring not to the 10, but to the 3 that they used every week. Shnayim shahayu b'ulam mibifnim, 2 that were right on the inside of the door of the heichal, lepesach habayis, we'll have this in the Mishnah on Amid Beis, echad shel kezev echad shel zahav, there was one silver shulchan and one golden shulchan inside the heichal, besides the main shulchan. What were these used for? Ashla kesev nosin lechem apanim b'knisaso, the one that was made out of silver, after they baked the lechem apanim in the azara, so they brought it in and put them on this table, silver table, v'yashol zav yitziyaso, and then after they put it on the silver table, that's when they switched it, and every Shabbos when they took it off the main shulchan, they put the ones that they took out down on this other golden shulchan. Why did this one have to be gold? Shemalin bakodesh ve'imot v'loma ridin. Because we go up in Kedusha, and we don't go down in Kedusha. And therefore, once it was on a golden one, it's got to still be on a golden one. And the Echad Shel Zami Bifnim, and the golden one inside, Shalom, Lechem Apanim Tamid. So there were 3 shulchans, but really, the two of them weren't really shulchans like we think of shulchans. They were kind of like tables. They're kind of waiting tables in order to put on, and after you took them off, silver, gold, gold. That is Ma'alin Bakodesh. Okay, we continue. There is a... Let's just finish for a second, then I'll mention it. Then how do you know? What's the source that you go up in Kedusha and you do not go down? Amar Rebbe. The Amar Kra, Vayaka Moshe as a Mishkan. Moshe built the Mishkan. Vayitain es Adonav. Vayasem es Kereshav. Vayitain es Bricha. Vayakam es Amudav. Moshe did everything. Moshe did everything. Okay, so how does that prove that you don't go down? So Rashi has three opinions. Rashi goes 3 days. How do you learn from this pasuk that you that ain moridin? Rashi on the fourth wide line. First of all, maybe says Rashi that the verb vayakem is used at the beginning of the pasuk and at the end of the pasuk. So you see, you have to end with vayakem is a strong lashon. You put it up, so it uses that lashon at the end also because you can't end with anything less. Number one, it's a language issue. Number two, says Rashi, inami delo siuhu echal hakohanim bakamas amudim vaadanim. Moshe did everything. Moshe did everything. He didn't have other people help him with the binyan, so he started it. So you're not more bektusha, right? It has to do with Moshe. Shvamina in Moridin lefichal on Zasku Bachin. That's why others didn't do it. By the way, the second shot, maybe this is the source for one usage of Malin Makodesh, and that we've mentioned a number of times. That's by Talis and Tefillin. Beginning of Hilchas Tefillin, in Simon Chafei, the Shulchan Aruch says we first put on our Talis and then we put on our Tefillin. Those who wear both. Why? Because of Malin Makodesh. Malin Makodesh, you're doing two mitzvahs. Acher Shalavash Talis Mitzuyats, Yaniach Tefillin. Shema'alin Makodesh. Bir halacha shetzarech leilech midarga ledarga ulehisalos bekdusha ki mitchila hu rak v'chaset atzmo bekisu shal mitzvah v'idei tefillin u'makasher atzmo bekesher ayichud v'kdusha. You put on tefillin, so you see it's relating to the gavra. So maybe that's related to here. Moshe Rabbeinu did it all himself. He didn't want anybody to take over after him, or nobody else was allowed to, because it's Ma'alin Bakodesh. So it's related a little bit to that, the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Chafei. And the third approach, Rashi says, Lishna Achrina, it says, Vayaka Moshe Es HaMishkan. What does it mean he put up the Mishkan? It means the Urios. He put up all of the curtains, and then, even after, as he finished putting up the walls and the sockets and the locks, he didn't take down the curtains. He held them up, and then while he did all the sockets and the adonim. So that also shows ma'al moridin. You're not morid the anything. So that's ma'alin bakodesh be'en moridin. That's the source for ein moridin. Uminalan, back to the Gemara, the ma'alin. How do you know ma'alin? Right, maybe you just know equal. How do you know ma'alin bakodesh? Amar of Acha, Rebbe Acha bar Yaakov, to Amar Kra es machtos ha-chato'im ha'elo banav shosam. The machtos of these sinners, as we're going to learn next week, parsha. V'yasu osam rikuei pachim tzipu lemizbeach ki ekrivim lefnei Hashem vayikdashu vayu laos lebnei Yisrael. End of the pasuk. So what do you see? What happened to those that were killed in the when Hashem punished them? He took their shovels, right, by Korach, and he made them into a tzipui, a plating for the mizbeach. So b'tchila tashmishe mizbeach, v'achshav gufa shal mizbeach. Before it was just a kli that was used for the mizbeach, a shovel, and it became gufa mizbeach. So you see, that's the source for ma'alin bakodesh, period. There's a major machlokas achronim, whether this is really a din to oraisa, learned that from sukkim, or a din to rabbanon. Nafkamina might be if you pass it up. If you pass it up, let's say you took out your tefillin first. Right, your tefillin are in your hand. So ein mavir nalamitzis. Do you put him down because you want ma'alin bakodesh? We paskin, no. You don't put him down. By the tefillin, within the tefillin, if you picked up the shal rosh first by mistake, then you have to put it down, put on the shal yad. But if you picked up the tefillin bag first, then you put on the tefillin. If it was by mistake, if you're just taking it out of your bag and you always do that, so maybe that's not the best idea. But if you had kavana, right, when you picked it up, that you're picking it up only to remove it to get to your talus, okay, maybe there, that might be somewhat different, even though it's not so clear. But if you dafka picked it up by mistake, so then one should use that. But ma'alin bakodesh ve'in moridin, that is a machlokas in the rice and in the rabbanan. I saw a couple of the Bali Musar say, why don't we just say ma'alin bakodesh? Don't we always know that michlal heinat hashomei alav? Ma'alin bakodesh. If you say ma'alin bakodesh, you know v'lo moridin. So the Bali Musar say no. It says ma'alin bakodesh. You got to go up. Got to go up the spiritual ladder. Ve'ein. If you're not going up, moridin, then you're going down. because there's no staying still in Yahadus. There's only Malin Bakodesh. The Ein, if that doesn't exist, Moridin, then you're going down. That's what's taught by those last two words. Malin Bakodesh, Ve'ein Moridin. Okay, Viter. Okay, a couple of famous chazals. Asher Shibarta V'samtam Ba'aron. That Moshe broke the luchos and he put him in the aron. Tani Rav Yosef Malamed Shahaluchos V'shivrei luchos Munachin Ba'aron. What do you see? Rabbi Yosef teaches me, put them in the Aron. Even the broken set of Luchos were in the Aron. The Luchos and the Shivri Luchos. Mikam l'tamon chacham, sheshokach tamudo machmazon. So this teaches me, this is an illustration to help teach me about a tamon chacham who forgot his Talmud. He's like the broken Luchos. Machmazon so, not because of his own fault. Sheinog in bo, minog bizoyin. So you can't be mevaza. You can't say, oh, make fun, he doesn't know anything. Talmud Chacham is like the Shivrei Luchos. The Shivrei Luchos were in the Aron. So too, this has to be in the Aron as the Talmud Chacham may have to take, give proper cover to as well. The Eila Hadvarim, Eila Hadvarim of Schlesinger, on Parshas Bamidbar, we mentioned this, I think, 2 years ago, in a Parshas year, he talks about Yerushalayim. He talks about, think about Yerushalayim. There's no city in the world that more people desired it and more people have fought over it. Not a city in the entire world. The more miyusar, the more fighting that we do for it, the more we're connected to it. And with that background, he says, let me tell you a thought related to this. Rav Yosef in the Gemara, Maseches Pesachim, Rav Yosef says, we just spoke about this, on Yom Adat Zarta, he was very happy on Shavuos. Rav Yosef said, make me an egla tilta, you had a special piece of steak on Shavuos. And he said, Ilav Hayom Adat Kagarim, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. Famous line, says, without the Torah, I would just be another Joe in the street. Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. That's what he says. The question is he like being a Balgaiva here? Look at me. Right, without the Torah, Kama Yosef Ikabashuka. So, we know he was a big anav. So what exactly was Rav Yosef Dafka saying, Kama Yosef Ikabashuka? So, he quotes the Rabbi Salami Vilna, that Yadua, if you think about it, Shavuos was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the first Luchos. And they were eventually broken. Why do we celebrate Shavuos? If that was Luchos Rishonos, and they eventually were broken, we should celebrate either Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe went up to get the third, second set of Luchos, or Yom Kippur. That should be Shavuos. Should be Shavuos Yom Kippur. Why do we celebrate the day that Moshe went up to get the Luchos that were eventually broken? What do you see from here, says the Rishalami Vilna? That even Shivrei Luchos you celebrate. Not only Luchos, the complete ones. Even Shivrei Luchos. Umizesh Einon Oosim Kein Rakash Kosim Chaseinu Amat Dorshan Oosim B'Shvuos Muchach Shigam Shivrei Luchos Hein Yikaras Ad Ma'od V'yesh Lam Chashivas Gedola Ulai Od Yoser Minash Luchos Ashlemos. Those Shivrei Luchos have special, they're precious to us. Rav Yosef throughout Shas, Rav Yosef forgot a lot of his learning. Right, his Talmidim are always reminding him. Da Bezing Subis, Shachach, Talmudo. Right, he forgot his learning. So Rav Yosef says, Shavuos always gives him chizuk. Why? Because Shavuos is the Shivrei Luchos. What did we just say? What's the Shivrei Luchos? Even a Talmud Chacham, Shoshachach Talmudo, right? You have to be noig bo min hakavod. So he always got chizuk. Without Shavuos, I'd be just another Joe in the street. Why? Because I forgot my learning, says Rav Yosef. And therefore, you see, even the Shivrei Luchos, Munachan Ba'aron, even though it's not complete, you still have the Shivrei Luchos. And he says, Mikan Ilmanaf Anu, now Rav Shezer Schlesinger, Yerushalayim Hayom, today Yerushalayim, do we have Yerushalayim Abenuya? Do we have the base of Mikdash? No, but it's at least Shivrei Luchos. It's at least Shivrei Luchos. We don't have Harabayas, but we have the Kotel. It's at least Shivrei Luchos. Therefore, we have to have Hakara and recognition for the Shivrei Luchos, Munachan Ba'aron as well. So that's the his Vart for Rav Yosef. That's again, Eila Hadvarim on Parshas Bamidbar. Leiter, Simin, Bitel, Sarach, Veshachach, Amar Ish Lakish. Statements from Ish Lakish. Pa'amim shebitula shel Torah, zehu yisoda. Famous line. Sometimes being mevatel the Torah is keeping the Torah. This is the concept of that Gemara talks about elsewhere in Yevamis, that Chachamim sometimes have to get rid of a certain mitzvah temporarily, be mevatel something in order to keep it. Right? Don't blow shofar, or carry a lulav on Shabbos. Isn't that bitul Torah? Mevatel the Torah, the answer is no. That's really keeping the Torah. Dechziv asher shibarta. As the Pasuk says that Hashem says, make another set of luchos for the luchos that you broke. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, yasher kochach asher shibarta. Shkoyach. Shkoyach that you broke it. Give you a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave him a shkoyach. That is, and therefore you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu was happy that that bittul of Torah was the Yesoda, right? This is also the end of Gebrachos, the ninth parak, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda and Nasi had to write down the Torah. Why? Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu Torasecha. You have to be made for the Torah sometimes in order to keep it going. You have to get rid of one law in order to keep all the laws going. Again, though, we mentioned many times, this was the high point of Moshe Rabbeinu's career, breaking into Luchot, the last Rashi al Torah. The last Rashi al Torah, right? You would think, what was Moshe, every phrase in the last passage of the Torah refers to something amazing Moshe Rabbeinu did. And he took Gordas the Mon, and he took us out of Mitzrayim, and Le'eni Kol Yisrael, he broke the Luchos. Broke the Luchot, that's his greatest achievement. So we mentioned, based on other sources as well, that yes, because this was Moshe's baby. This was Moshe's dream to finally bring down the Luchos. And yet, he sees that Klal Yisrael aren't worthy of it. So MS, that Shibut to MS, he breaks them. You would have thought he would have come up with an excuse and he would have put him away. And no, Moshe says, they don't deserve this, they can't have this. And he broke them. Right? That was his unbelievable fealty to the Torah. That was his gavus. That was number one, Reish Lakish. Number two, if we have more time, we'll come back to other points related. V'yamar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish also says, Talmud Chacham shesarach emavazan osam avrasya. A Talmud Chacham that sins, don't embarrass him in public. Sh'ne'emah v'chashalta hayom, v'kashal gamnavi imcha, layla, kisahu kalayla. It's a chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. Therefore, even if you have a rav that sins, you know, you could rebuke him or whatever, deal with him, but try not to make a chil Hashem. V'yom Reish Lakish, finally the third statement, kol ha-meshacheach, davar echon mi talmudo, over belav. Anyone who forgets anything from their learning gets an aveira. Be careful not to forget. What's that talking about? Har Sinai. So Reish Lakish says, you get an aver if you forget your learning. Ravina Amar, Hishamar Ben Shneilavim Ninu. It's two avers. Right, because there's two Lashonos of an Isser in the Pasik. Ravachar Yislak Amar Bishloshalavim. Three averis. Shenemar yishamar lecha ushmanafshcha maod pentishkach es hadvarim. Right, be careful not to forget the dvarim. Let's continue for a minute. Yochal afilu machmas onso. You one might think that even if there's an ones, the person is sick. Rachmana l'slan. There's an external force that makes him forget. Then he also violates tamalomar ufen yasuru milvavcha b'mesira milibachas madaber. Not only applies to somebody who actively is meser milibo. So you might think he just forgets some because the brain is only so big, and therefore if you're pushing information into it more and more and more, maybe some new Torah took the place of some old Torah, so you might think they're also you're responsible. So it excludes, that's not included in the Yisr, period. Tosus points out that Tosus here, yeah, Tosus says on the top, Tosus says Bishdi B'Sachas Alvis, right, we know this from Pirkei Avos, that but if you look at many mefarshim on Pirkei Avos, talk about how is that possible? We all forget things. It's interesting. I didn't see anyone make the ha'ara, but part of the difference between, we mentioned this from Rav Shimon Shkup in the past, part of the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios was Luchos Shnios means we forget things. Luchos Rishonos would have been, right, as Maisa Espe Elokim. So we would have learned it, we wouldn't have forgotten it. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that we couldn't survive that way, where we wouldn't have to dedicate and commit ourselves to Torah, and we would remember everything. So now the only way you do it is if you kill yourself for it. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to break it, and he got a second luchos, because he saw they couldn't survive. So these two pieces fit right with each other. Moshe Rabbeinu, luchos shnios, meaning there is shichacha in the world, with the very next line, you can't forget anything. Meaning, even though there's shikha in the world, we got to push ourselves as much as we can in order to remember. But a number of commentaries on that Mishnah. First of all, the Baruch Sha'amar, which is the Torah Tzimimah's commentary on Pirkei Avos, so he quotes, he says, such an onesh, ma'al akasav kilu mischayev benafsho. How is that possible? So he says, v'yafshal omar, de'acharei shabal amayim, he just says a ha'ara. Who's talking here? Who's talking in Pirkei Avos? Who said this? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the one that was talking. Rabbi Meir throughout Shas has a phenomenal memory. Unbelievable memory. It says in Megillah Daf Yud Ches, one time in Shul, they didn't have a Megillah. So you know what? He wrote a Megillah on the spot. He didn't have a Megillah. He wrote an entire Megillah on the spot. So Rabbi Meir couldn't fathom. Sometimes if you have a certain ability, you can't fathom that anybody else would not have the ability. Right? A lot of times, let's say it's boiling hot outside. You can't fathom it snowing. You can't fathom it being cold. If it's freezing, you can't, when you're not in it, you can't just fathom otherwise. If somebody is rich, if somebody is poor, they can't remember if somebody, Baruch Hashem, is healthy. They don't remember what pain is like. If somebody's in pain, they can't remember what it feels like not to be in pain. So a mayor had such a tremendous memory, he couldn't fathom how people couldn't remember things. It must be your fault. Must be that you're not committing yourself. But Lamaisa, we know that not everyone has Rabbi Meir's memory, and maybe that's part of where it came from. That's number one. The Briskarov says, this is in Ba'as Chanan. Briskarov quotes this mission. He says, maybe the whole discussion of Mischayas Benafsho is only at the time in the Mesorah, before the Mesorah was written down. Before Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, before Mishnah, so then if he forgot something from the Mesorah, Mischai Benafshi, you know why? Because then it was lost. If somebody forgets something in the chain before Mishnah, if you lost it, then it's lost forever. Nowadays, what if I forget something, it's lost in the Mesorah? We have Torah Shebichsav that's already written down. We have Torah Shebalpeh that became Torah Shebichsav. Right, it's all written down. So you're going to say, I forget something. Okay, I'm going to try not to forget something. But the extreme formulation of Mischayav Benafsho only applied in the earlier stages of a history. Aval acher shekvar nechtem haTalmud v'nifzika haKabbalah shel Torah shebal peh ish bipi ish shuv ein ze bechlal shocheyav tover echad mi-mishnah so te'ikar asarazu hi al ha-mishnah ha-mesura bal peh shelo tishkach. That's the Griz in Parshas Va'es Chanan. One other point, and then we will continue. One other point, and that is, Rav Avram Shor came out last summer. He has two volumes on Pirkei Avos, Halakha Kvalibuv. So, in volume two, he talks about this Mishnah, and he has another question on it. Because what does our Gemara say? You can't forget anything. What's the source for not forgetting anything? What's that pasuk by? That's by Kabbalah Satorah. That's not Talmud Torah. So how can we say, if you forget anything from your Talmud Torah, your Mischayav Benafsho, and bring a plaster from Kabbalah Satorah? Haraya, that every time we learn, we have Kabbalah Satorah. Every time we learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, giving us the Torah. And he quotes rayas to this, which we're not going to go through all of them. He quotes rayas, after all, whenever somebody learns, it's kind of impossible to get everything exactly from the Rebbe. It's impossible. Whenever there's always something lost in the transition between Rebbe and Talmud. What allows the Mesorah to continue? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and makes it a Kabbalah Satorah, and he helps out, and he gives special siyata d'shmaya in terms of the limud. See, so that happens every time we learn. Every time we learn, we have that. So therefore, that's how you can bring a raya from Kabbalah Satorah to Talmud Torah. Okay, let's continue. Right, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Darmi Trevayu, Torah Nitzna Barboim, Uvinashama Notzer Barboim. The Torah was given in 40 days, and the Neshama is formed in 40 days. Right, the Yisiris Avlad. When does a baby get a status? 40 days after conception. Kol Mishamer Torahso Nishmaso Mishtameres. Anybody keeps the Torah, his Neshama is guarded. V'chol Sheinu Mishamer the Torah, Nishmaso Mishtameres. And if anybody doesn't, his Torah is not guarded. So Hashemus picks up on one letter. Why does it say anybody who keeps Torahso? And somebody doesn't keep Torah, because when you keep the Torah, it becomes yours. Mishamer's Torah. So, somebody keeps this Torah, right? The first pasuk in Tehillim. Right? First pasuk in Tehillim, first parak in Tehillim, it becomes your Torah. Tanit Verbi Shmuel, Mashal La'adam Shemasar Sibar Dor La'abdo. It's like a mashal to a person who gives his favorite prize bird to his servant to watch. Omar, Kimiduma Ata, Shemata Ma'abda Shani Notam Imcha Isser B'dameha. What, you think that if you lose the bird, I'm just going to take money for the bird? Nishmascha nitinotam emcha. I'm going to take your neshama. I'm going to kill you. Because this bird means so much to me. You don't understand the value of this bird to me. It's the same thing with Torah. Sfas Emes again says, because when it comes to Torah, there's no value for it. You might think it's something physical, but there's no value for it. There's emotional connection. There's a lot of other connections. So that is bitula Torah shel Yisuda and not forgetting anything. Back to Menachos, says the Mishnah. This we already had in Amar Aleph. The Gemara quoted this. There were two tables inside the Hayab Ulam. In the Ulam, Mi Bifnim, the Ulam was the entranceway into the Heichal. Right? The Ulam was a little wider, And then the heichal was afterwards. Mi bifnim al pesach habayis, echad shal shayish ve'echad shal zav, one of shayish, which is called shayish, but just in contrast to gold. But we said in Amar Aleph, it was silver. Ve'echad shal zav, and one of gold. Al shal shayish, nosim lechem apanim b'knisa so, ve'al shal zav yisiyaso, shemal nama kodesh v'lo maridin. As we said, ve'echad shal zav, mi bifnim, sha'alav lechem apanim tamid. And the one on the gold on the inside, that they always put the lechem upon him. Four kohanim went in, shnayim biyadam shnei sedarim, shnayim biyadam shnei bazichin. Four kohanim went inside. Every Shabbos, two of them had the two sedarim, and the two of them had the bazichin. And four others went in front of them, because they were going to take off the other ones, the old ones. Shnayim litol shnei sedarim, shnayim litol shnei bazichin. Right, two of them to take the two sedarim, and two to take the bazichin. Because the ones, I don't know who won the... Who won the lottery? The one had that each of them, one of them had to carry six loaves, the other one had to carry six loaves, and one of them had to carry a little cup of baziach of the lavona, a little bazich. He had a much easier job. Shtayim litol shei bazichin hamachnisim omdei betzafan v'pnei ladarom. The ones that were putting into the shulchan stood on the north side, and they were facing south. Stood on the north facing south. Why were the ones going in facing the north? So we quoted this Rashi many months ago. Rashi on the fourth skinny line. The osan misajin ha'avoda yihu b'tzafon. De kedushas tzafon chamira. We discussed that way back when we discussed a carbon ola. And we discussed that karchei kachim have to be done in the north. Is there something inherent about the north? There's more kedusha in the north. The Meshech Chachma discussed this in Parshas Vayikra. Tzafon is from the word safun, hidden. Yitzchak Avinu's ashes are hidden in the north, safun. So this is an important Rashi. Rashi here says, Kedusha safon is chamira, and that's why the ones putting in were in the north. And the ones who were taken out stood in the south. Elu moshchim, elu manichin. At the same moment, these pulled and these pushed. There was not a moment in time that the shulchan did not have breads on it. Shneamar lefanai tamid. Rabbi Yosi Omer, that's what tamid. Tamid means always, every second. Rabbi Yosi Omer, afilu elu nozlem elu manichin. No, Rabbi Yosi says, no, don't worry about it. As long as it's done the same day, that's already considered tamid. Af ki haisa tamid. As long as they were done the same day. Yatsu v'nastam al shulchan azav shayi v'ulam. Then what happened? They took him out and they put it onto the golden other shulchan that was in the ulam, as we described. Hiktira bazi. Why they put it there? Because they added some other avodas to do. Meanwhile, hiktira bazichin. Then they were makdu the bazichin on the mizbeach ha-chitzon v'achalos b'schalos l'kohanim. And then they split the chalos up, some to the mishmar hanichna, some to the mishmar hayose, as we discussed. Chal yom kippurim lios b'shabbos. What happens if Yom Kippur falls down on Shabbos? Hachalos b'schalos la'erev. And they waited till the night. Waited till the night because they can't eat them anyway today. So they waited till the night time. Rashi says they didn't wait till tomorrow. Why did they wait till tomorrow? Because it would have been Nifsabalina. Nifsabalina, Rashi says. The Nifsabalina lachar zmano shenisal, because it's not on the shulchan anymore. The shulchan that it's on is not going to help. Only the real shulchan is going to help to prevent it from lina. Chalios be'erev Shabbos. What if Yom Kippur fell out on Friday? Seir shel Yom Kippurim nechala erev. So the seir of Yom Kippur, when was that eaten? When was that eaten? That was a chatas. So when was that eaten? Because Yom Kippur was Friday, and then you can't cook it on Shabbos. So it says it was eaten la erev. V'habavliim ochlam osok shu chai. The bracha daitan yafe. The Babylonians used to eat raw meat. So they used to eat it raw. They had to salt it, because you had to get the blood out, but they used to eat it raw. They were able to eat it that night. Okay, we'll see tomorrow in the discussion of the Rishonim whether that was looked on as a good thing or not. Viter says the Gemara Tanya Rabbi Yosi Omer Afilu Silek Esar Yishana Shachris V'Sider Esar Chadasha Arvis Ein B'Kach Klum. Even if they remove the old one in the morning and replace the old one and the other one at night, Ein B'Kach Klum, it's the same halachic day. Right, because night laila holach achar yom when it comes to kachim. Elamani mekayim lufanai tamid shlo yalin shulchan below lechem. It just means you can't have a whole day without it. Amrebi ami. Here comes some famous lines. Could be top famous lines in all of Maseches Menachos. Right here. Amidvar Rabbi Yosi Nilma. Rabbi Yosi says tamid means at least a little bit each day. Don't go a day without it. Afilu lo shana elaperek echad shachar zaperek echad arvis kiyem mitzvah lo yomer sefer dorazim ipicha. Even if you just learned a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, that's a kiyum of lo yamish. Lo yamish, the Torah shouldn't leave your mouth. Right, the tzivu to Yoshua. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Yachai. Afilo kara adem el kriyishma shakris va'arvis. Kiyem lo yamish. Even if somebody just says kriyishma, that's enough in the morning to be yotzi your mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'davar ze asur lo omru v'fnei ma'aretz. Don't say this to an Amaretz. Who could take advantage? For Rav Amar, mitzvah over from Amaretz. It's a great thing to say. You got to know who you're talking to. If you're talking to somebody who's going to take advantage, then don't say it. If you're talking to somebody who needs chizik, who's saying, oh, I'm never going to learn, I'm never going to do anything, then you have to say it. It's a mitzvah la'omra, period. So this is a huge discussion, right? This relates to the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, right? V'hagisa v'yom v'layla, what, just kriyishma, shachris v'arvis, that's enough? So this, Be'ez Hashem, is something that we'll start with tomorrow. We'll start with all the different shitas, the stipler, the gra, in terms of the chiyuv of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But let's just do two more lines now. Shah ben Dama ben Achoso, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael's nephew asked him, K'gon anich, l'mat dikol atorah, kula ma'alum al-chachmas yavanis, I learned all of Torah already. So can I learn Greek chachma? The Torah can never leave your mouth, and you have to be osing in it day and night. It's fine. Just find a time when that's not day or night. You have to learn Torah day and night. So if you find a time that's not day or night, then feel free to learn to learn Chachmas Yavanis. That's what he says. In other words, not right. And Tosfos says, didn't know Gzeira against Chachmas Yavanis. Right? Teima Diraskalmau. Tosfos asks. So that is the famous statement of Rabbi Yishmael, period. By the way, just related to this, I think the other, I don't know if it's Shulchan Aruch Harav or others, points out, you see from here that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just about knowledge, because he knew everything. He did it all. And what did Rabbi Yishmael say? Keep learning. Right? Talmud Torah is not just about goal, or it's not just goal-oriented, it's just the mice, and therefore, even if somebody has learned everything, he still has to keep learning. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll continue tomorrow with all the discussion of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as we finish up the 11th perek in Maseches Menachos. Okay, we'll stop here.